you know, that's bull in the china shop. I don't think I'm ready to do that. But I'm just raising the issue that things have changed. We need to get everybody on the same level playing field, because this program was started at a time when conditions were very different. And I don't disagree with the idea that we ought to have, you know, infrastructure commonality or standardization. But right now we don't have that. We're funding history, and we need to change that.
Judge Good?
I just had a question. I want to make sure I understand what you said. Is part of the money that would be earmarked for this purpose to assess which systems or which switches are in what condition, as opposed to just letting them run to failure?
No, Judge. We do that on a regular basis, and so that is provided out of the AOC's operating budget, and the vendor obviously has an incentive to do that, to be able to participate in the project. So that it's not a charge to do the assessment.
So then do we already have the answer to the question of whether this is needed to be done?
So, you know, from my personal perspective, you know, putting aside the issue of fairness that Mike is talking about, yes, we have done an assessment. The process we've used year after year for the courts that are in the program is to look down the road for the switches that are reaching, and sure, you asked this question. It's not a question of whether some consultant thinks it's a good idea, but reaching the end of their maintenance life, meaning the vendor who produces those servers will no longer support them if they break, or provide software fixes for them as they need to be managed. So we have that information, and that's how we came up with the estimates we have in your documentation for the 16 courts. We also know, similar to the point was made on the Orange County issue, is that this process goes on, you know, in perpetuity. As long as you have applications like Phoenix running on these infrastructure, as long as you have courts that need to connect one court location to another court location, you need to have this equipment, and you need to keep it maintained. And that's really what this program is about. And so it doesn't end with these 16 courts. It would go on forever. And the reason that there are different numbers is because they were all implemented at different times over the past 11 or 12 years. And so as that equipment, which has different useful life expectancies, reaches that point, we add them into the process. So that's why the number of courts differs year to year.
Judge Slough.
So I guess I have two thoughts. One is more of a question than a thought. Is, you know, I don't really believe that, save and except maybe the gentleman standing, many of us are tech experts. We're not subject matter experts, and I wonder if we might not need a weigh-in from the tech committee, the Judicial Council tech committee, to, and maybe it already has gone to them, and they've seen it, and they've said, yes, this is where we need to go with this. I don't know. But it might be interesting to have their perspective on this type of expenditure and where it fits within our priorities for our purposes at this table. So that's kind of one question and thought. And the other is, if indeed, and again, I believe in maintenance, and deferring it only increases cost. But I don't see it as an emergent thing that we have to decide today. So I'm almost wondering if it might be appropriate to make a motion to table the decision as it relates to the $6.9 million and the Orange County to a later date.
Sure.
I'd just like to ask, if the consultant is reviewing the equipment at no cost, I would like to have you consider having the consultant look at those courts who have not been included, because it may change our forecast. If, for example, they find the switches in San Diego are significantly more in trouble than in some that are on the forecast, this may change. And it seems to me that does it would give time for us to look at the need at a statewide level. I think it would help Judge Slough's group in then seeing what does the whole picture look like, and is it appropriate to use a fund that is depleting, Or is it is there another opportunity to look at it in a different way? But it seems to me that if we're going to hold off a little bit anyway, which I think was where your motion was going to go, I would really like to include all of the courts that have not been included before in the condition of their equipment, because this it may completely change this forecast based on their condition.
Mary Beth? I just had one follow-up question kind of related before we start to do that inventory is how, for those courts that are in the plan, if they're getting a new facility, what does that do with them? Because I notice, like, you've got quite a bit of money in there for Sutter. The year after, I would move into a new facility, so I'm not quite sure how that works.
So, yes, that's a very good question, Mary Beth. We do keep track of when the new facilities are coming online, and we adjust the deployment schedule based on that. So if a facility is closing, for instance, we're not upgrading that equipment, but we do a five-year budget for all of the technology projects, and so we earmark where we think that expenditure will need to be made for new facilities and when we can pare back those for facilities that are being shut down.
And I will just add one thing. I had a switch go bad this week, and so on Monday morning we came in, and two out of my three clerk's offices were dead in the water for half a day, not productive. So we're feeling it. We're feeling the delay. Judge Walsh?
I'm still unclear, though, on one of the earlier questions. I hear that this is all these are needed. They may not be emergent or emergency, but they're needed. But how quickly? I mean, if we wanted 2 months to revisit this, as Judge Trenicasa and others suggested, would you say that's crazy? Things that you're going to have Mary Beth situation every week, and this is crazy? Yeah, 2 months we can live with. Prudence would say you better make this decision by end of November or else. Do you have some sense of that?
You know, I think there isn't an urgency within a couple months. As we look at things on an annual basis, so I think, you know, as much as a half a year, you'd have time to deliberate further on these types of things.
Okay.
Can I just follow up then, Mark, on the suggestion that Sherry had, is that it looks to me like perhaps there's three courts that don't participate in the program. Is that
four?
And is it, can you evaluate their needs in terms of this project in the interim? Is that workable?
So to the degree that Sherry mentioned, looking at the age of their existing equipment, and determining which pieces of those need to be replaced within a certain amount of time, yes, I believe we can. A big part of the project, however, was to, as I think Rick talked about, bring all the courts up to a standard network configuration. And that, I think, is a much bigger job to do, particularly for courts like San Diego, Orange, and Los Angeles. And, of course, the courts would need to be wanting to do this. I know that in the past, that for whatever reason, they weren't willing to look at doing things in a similar fashion to the other courts. So, you know, that part of the program wouldn't be applicable to them. But if it's merely looking at their existing equipment and determining which is at end of useful life and coming up with a bill of materials for those, yes, I think we could do that in, you know, a couple months' time, you know, 3 months.
Judge Hicks?
So.
Coming from a base of total technological ignorance, the question that I think I had was, as this was described, we're talking hardware, switches. And the impression I got was these are based on an assumed useful life. Now I'm here and seeing something possibly different. Now I've done a little investigation and been told that there's very sophisticated software that's integrated into these switches. And even us technophobes understand that if you lose the support, you got to replace it. But which of those is it? And the second question is, are the switches that for the courts that were identified the ones only ones that are in trouble? Or is this just those whose turn it is and that others are in the same condition?
For your first question, it was the latter. So it is when the manufacturer of the hardware says, we're no longer going to support that piece of equipment, which includes what we call firmware or the software that actually manages its operation. So It is the latter. It is that. It is when the manufacturer says we're no longer going to upgrade that firmware for you, we're no longer going to fix it if a piece in that piece of equipment breaks.
So that's the case of all the ones identified.
That's the case of all the ones identified. And as far as, you know, is this it? These 16 quarts are the ones that are due or past due. The objective is to get to the remaining quarts by the end of 2015, correct? So that we keep on track for the next refresh cycle.
We can start all over again.
Yeah.
I saw Judge Good and then Judge Clay.
I think we have two questions. It appears that there are 54 quarts that are part of this program, and the program, if it is one which is reasonably well managed and is tending to maintenance needs on a sensible schedule, is actually the kind of thing that we should be implementing and doing for our courts to keep our courts functioning and communicating. The second, and so to that extent, if we can stand a two-month delay, that's fine, but I don't want the second question to sidetrack maintenance for all of the courts that rely on this program. The other question is the equity question, which I think is a very important question. And, you know, I think Mike raises a good question, and we could look at that separately, but I just don't think that the second question should permanently derail one of the areas where we actually have a good maintenance schedule, if that's what it really is, and let this then slip into what we're doing with some of our physical plant where we can't maintain it.
Judge Clay.
So I guess, Mark, my question is, how much of this is related to local versus statewide equipment? So I'm talking about equipment that interfaces just locally with their own systems, and we're making sure they're maintained, or equipment that's interfacing with not only the local, but our statewide equipment. How much is that in terms of this project?
I think they're the same, aren't they, Raul? It's the same pieces of equipment, essentially?
Correct. It's all mostly. Affects the local systems, but it connects.
Yeah. These are your core switches and routers within your own networks, and a portion of those also do duty to connect to the CCTC, which is the statewide component.
So what we're doing, I think we get back to Mike and Sherry's discussion in terms of, at some point we have to wean off these ports that you've got to provide for your own local system. We can't continue to just piecemeal and continue to support people who do what they do and they choose systems that they choose to run their court.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have to get to that point. You're going to get an allocation. Here's your money. Here's what you got to do. You can't drain the funds because you've made some different mistakes or make some decisions that are going to affect 58 counties. So, I mean, that's really the question we got to get to. When do we decide to move away from this model that we can't do that? I mean, this is local. This is not a statewide. I mean, there's very limited interface on a statewide basis. You can't continue to say, we're going to do this for you out of this fund, and that's what we're going to do. So, to that extent, that's my question.
So, Mark, I just had one question. Out of the base amount, not counting the 6.9, if in the intervening two-month period, if we had, you know, a series of failures or some failures, would we have the wherewithal to assist in exchanging out those routers and those servers?
July 2015. They're end of support July 2015.
So, yes.
Okay. And just a comment.
I'm sorry, was the answer yes?
The answer was yes. I'm sorry.
And just a comment to kind of touch on what Judge Slough and Jody and Mike had indicated. You know, part of the issue here is the timing issue in terms of, you know, we're changing things. Obviously, the committee is very anxious to address the equity issues, and it's a matter of how do we go from point A to point B, and, you know, within, you know, some reasonable kind of time frame.
And Judge Earl, one point of clarification. You know, Judge Herman will kill me if I don't say this, but the objective was to have the council act on the strategic plan in February, not December. So I don't think they'll be quite ready.
Thank you.
In December to
Thank
do
you
that.
For clarifying that. Now maybe he won't kill me.
So let me ask a question. I'm trying to figure out, determine whether Judge Slough's suggestion was a motion or not. The As I understand the recommendation, it's recommendation number 2, included on page 11 of this report, and it's that first bullet. It's my understanding that there's a request for a total allocation of $15.6 million, but that includes an increase of 6.9, and were you suggesting that the increase to that allocation be deferred, that the allocation go out at a level minus the 6.9 until there's more information?
Correct.
Could we define the deferral period? Would you be comfortable with October? We bring it back in to the trial court budget working group advisory committee in October?
Assuming that gives everybody enough time to kind of address the issues that have been discussed, I am.
Does everyone understand the motion? Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second the motion.
That's Mike Roddy.
Well, I have a question. It's recommendation number 2 of the IMF recommendations as distinct from recommendation number 2 of TCTF.
Correct.
That's my first clarification. And that recommendation 2 also includes mm-hmm. orange, and presumably we're going to treat that separately.
Yes, we're going to treat that separately.
Okay. So it's the first bullet point of recommendation number 2 of the IMF. Right.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So the motion is to approve that allocation minus $6.9 million, which will be deferred until October. And there was a second by Mike Roddy. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Did you want to, while we have Mark Dustman up here, talk a little bit about the request for the Orange Superior Court Telecommunications Network?
I guess my question would be, would you spend $609,000 and not assume you'd get $2 million the next year and $2 million the next? I mean, it just seems logical to me that you don't do one without assuming you're going to go down that path so that you get it totally up and running. And so and maybe my assumption is incorrect in that regard.
You would think that that's the way we would do this. My understanding in this, and wrong, is that this is a portion of the critical switches and routers that Orange needs to have replaced now, and that even that incremental step would save the court from potential downtime due to those switches going bad. It doesn't negate the fact that they have many more that need to be done subsequent to that.
So in that regard, would, again, a two-month delay to gather the data to support that critical need for them at that amount, would that put them in a crisis point?
No, I don't believe it would, Judge, but I think we have the information that we looked at for Orange, which switches are at the end of their useful life at the moment, so we have that. So I'm not sure that the deferral would change the information we can provide from ITSO. I think it's this equity issue.
Okay. Judge Clay?
Judge Clay, the problem with Orange, they have balanced funds in their bank account that they got to find ways to use it. Why would we spend $609,000 to pay for their switches where they have the money to do it themselves?
Well, and I guess my point would simply be if we could defer it, that would give them an opportunity to be present to maybe answer that question for us.
Well, they have an opportunity to be here. They know this. I mean, this is very clear. I mean, when their CEO is talking about it, he's trying to find ways to spend their money, why wouldn't they spend their own money to do this? What's fair to the 57 other counties? That's not fair.
David?
Yeah, and I think in all fairness, we previously discussed the idea of having a review of the equity in funding some of these initiatives. And I think isolating Orange because they express the availability of fund balance doesn't really address the reality that everybody has some level of fund balance, yet we're continuing to receive some money to replace some of these switches because we've submitted a request or we were part of the review. So, yes, perhaps they do, but I don't think that the answer should be no just because they have a fund balance. So the issue that we should be talking about, and I think we did agree to, is examine the equity and how the monies are being parsed out to the different courts. And if they decide, or it's decided that they're not going to be funded, and we decide that the money should be distributed and they can use it however they deem is appropriate, that should be the case. But I don't know that the fact that they've identified a fund balance should immediately exclude them from being part of this program. I think we still need to take a look at this equity issue.
Mary Beth? Yeah, I would concur. We haven't gone through the list to see if anybody else has a fund balance. I do, though, think that it would be appropriate perhaps for the two-month delay because we are going to look at the equity issue and they're trying to come into the program just like, you know, San Diego's expressed perhaps they would be interested. And from that standpoint, to bring a new program in to a program that we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with, that makes sense to me. But I don't know that we should be opening up the dorm fund balance without doing it, you know, treating everybody the same. We're trying to get a position of equity. Nobody asked me if I had a fund balance however many years ago when I first joined this program either. So I agree with what David's saying.
Tanya? I agree, too. And I think that, I mean, because Orange is one of the four. So have they expressed an interest in getting in across the board with us, with the rest of us that are in? If that's the case, and Mike wants to do this as well, and Sherry, if she wants to get in L.A. now, I think we need to take a look at that holistically. And then if we're going to do the assessment on these particular other four courts that are not included, then maybe we take that opportunity to do that now and see if this particular amount of money is what they need and if they are really critical.
Right. Judge Walsh?
Well, then, given the fact that it sounds like Orange's need is just a writ small of the issue we just dealt with, would it be appropriate then to defer this the same 2 months, bring it back at the same meeting, by which time we may have a better sense of equity in allocation and also a better sense of need? So,
is that a motion?
Question, but I'll make it a motion. I move that we defer the second bullet point of recommendation to under the IMF funds. Defer it until the October meeting.
Is that a second by Tanya?
Yes.
Let me ask Mark, do you have any concerns about that deferral time period?
I don't, Judge.
Okay. Any other discussion on that?
And part of that motion includes that until we receive that full assessment.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Part of that motion includes until we receive, it's deferred until we receive that full assessment in October,
correct? Which we're shooting for October, which obviously, Judge Trenacosta and Sherry, your subcommittee would need to get together again. This group would need to get together again before the October council meeting. Sherry?
For clarification on this full assessment, thank you, Sean, does that full assessment now include the other three that have not been included, Alpine, San Diego, and L.A.?
That's my understanding of the first motion. So.
Then I would support the motion.
Any further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Judge.
Can I, Judge Trent Acosta, do you want to go from here? I was hoping we could at least get through recommendation number one.
I would think that we could. Recommendation one is included on page 11, and as you can see, as to the IMF fund, there is a recommendation to this committee that we reduce the proposed funding level for the Bench Officer Assistance Program. And at our subcommittee meeting, we asked many questions about the utilization of this and found that it was, to put it charitably, underutilized, and that the contract, when it was signed, anticipated that there would be potentially 1,500 judges who would participate. And as the analysis went, given the number of judges who participated, having about 34,000 instead of 68,000 in this fund was thought to more than adequately cover any needs our judges may have. Essentially, it's not money that's being used, and it's money that is being spent and essentially burnt with no return. So the first part of this is that we reduce the funding for this assistance program by $34,000 and cancel the current contract and go to a per-call base service contract. I don't know if there's any members of the committee that also want to weigh in on those discussions. I've tried to just summarize them.
He's just going through what includes.
If there are no questions, we'll go to the second aspect of this, and that is there is a new funding request of $1.16 million for the CLIC system, which is an acronym for Courts Linked by Information and Knowledge. This system essentially is a contact system where the AOC staff can have access to software to show contacts for the various individuals within the branch. In addition, as I understand it, it is an upgrade for the assigned judges program and software that would allow a better tracking of the assigned judges. And while all of us were sympathetic to the fact that it would be nice, given the drains on the various funds, this was deemed to be a non-urgent request, and the request is to deny the $1.16 million in funding. So again, well, I'll just open it up for any other committee members who wish to weigh in on their perspectives about this, but that's kind of a rough summary of what was discussed.
No further questions on that? Did you also want to address the proposal to reduce the allocation for the Domestic Violence Family Law Interpreter Program?
Sherry, would you care to address that?
Just for clarity, it's a shift of funding, not a reduction.
Yeah, it's a shift. It's not a reduction. Currently, the and I don't know if the AOC person is here that spoke to that.
Chad.
Currently, there are certain funds that are allocated for the interpreters to interpret domestic violence matters in family law. Because that is an expansion of interpreter utilization, our subcommittee felt that it would be an appropriate use of the 4545 funds because it is, in fact, expanding their use, and rather than limit it to just the amounts that are provided to the counties, what our proposal was is to allow the 4545 funds to interpret all of the DV matters in the family law area. And so it was a shift of using those funds from this account over to the 4545, recognizing that fund is to pay interpreters for interpreting matters. We were also informed that currently we do spend money out of the 4545 once the allocated money from those accounts is met. Courts are submitting to the 4545 in the DV matters anyway, and so we are paying for those DV matters currently, and this would just be a recognition of shifting the entire expense to that account. And so, am I saying that right, anybody from the AOC? Okay. So we felt that it was a good use and would be very supportive of the interpreters because it would be expanding their utilization to that area.
So, Sherry, and I would just add one piece of that. The appropriation for the interpreters is $92.7 million. And so for the last 3 years, we've come under that
amount by an average of about $3.8 million, and with this year a significantly higher number, it looks like the estimate that may put that surplus at about $16 million. So the potential risk would be is if we used all of the 45-45 funds for criminal this year and didn't have enough then to cover that 1.7 out of 45-45. That's highly unlikely based on the expenditure patterns for the last 3 years out of 45-45.
Well, may I ask?
Yes.
And is the claim correct that DOJ says we must stop redirecting our 45-45 funds? True or false?
They did say that in their letter to us. And the context that they were putting it in, as you recall, I think last year, year before last year, the council did redirect $3 million of the surplus, not out of 45-45. So it's no longer 45-45 funds, I'd submit. It's in the trial court trust fund fund balance. And the council did redirect that $3 million. That was, I think, on what was on the mind of DOF, is not redirecting any of those funds that they see as the surplus that is accrued from the to court operations. That's
but
right.
If I understand this, we're not doing that kind of shift. We're just.
It's still
sharing. We're still putting this toward interpreters.
Exactly.
It's just this very valuable program of DV.
Okay. Right. We're paying interpreters for interpreting in DV and family law.
Okay.
It's still going to interpreter services.
Exactly.
That's
okay.
Absolutely right.
I suppose if there's no questions, we'd entertain a motion.
Well, I had a question.
Go ahead.
My question had to do with the first part of the motion, which was the approval of allocations totaled $58.3 million. And I do want to say I recommend this. I was on this subcommittee last year. This is not an easy task, and I've equated it to it's trying to figure out which arm you're going to give up because we are at a state of fiscal crisis. So I applaud the work of the subcommittee. But I just had a question on whether or not the subcommittee had a discussion, or if you did not, whether anyone wants to have it. And there are certainly, it seems to me, certain expenses included within these programs that in a perfect world we would always fund and always need. But the question is, are we in a perfect world, and should we continue to spend money on these types of things, given the fiscal state that the branch is in and this IMF fund, the fund condition? And those are things like, again, I don't mean to say that these are not valuable programs, but those are things like $20,000 to hire a consultant to maintain services to courts in updating form sets, which is a part of the interactive software for self-help electronic forms that CFCC is requesting. Or, for instance, the CFCC's educational program in assisting judicial officers and court employees in attending the Beyond the Bench conference. And I recognize that's not the only use of that money. Or, for instance, holding 9 new judge programs this year as opposed to 6. Are these the kind of – is this the way we should be spending this kind of money given the fiscal state that we're in? Is that a discussion that the committee had? Is that – a discussion that we want to have today?
I'll just give my impression, and I hope this is a fair summary. I think the committee asked lots of questions, particularly when it came to judicial education, you know, the kinds of things that you're pointing out. And it seems to me it was a consensus of the committee that judicial education is a core function, and that if we are going to spend money, this view that judicial education by means of the internet, while it may have sounded good, probably did not live up to its promise. We had discussions about educating staff, which people felt also to be a core function. Our research attorneys, there was lots of discussion about that as well. And I think that we walked through each of these issues and dealt with it I think conscientiously, and asked some hard questions. Frankly, most of the votes were unanimous or near unanimous on those issues. The bump in the road, the bump in the road, to put it mildly, was technology. That's as you can see from our discussion here today, there's a lot of concern, and certainly reasonable minds could differ. So that's my summary of it, but I'll defer to the other committee members.
Judge Hicks?
As I was going through the book, which was quite thick, and you have it here, I was making mental notes. Is this essential for court operations or not? I had a whole bunch that weren't. And on further analysis, they're all mandated by the legislature. So the bottom line is, if you want to cut, there's a few nickel and dime things, but there's not much, which is why we thought we should defer it for a more strategic analysis of the kind of cuts it's going to take.
Judge Slough? David?
Thank you, Judge Rowe. Having co-chaired this committee last year with you and certainly serving this year, I will tell you that we had to make very difficult decisions. We've had to basically discontinue programs that I think many of us would view as being very important, but we just don't have that resource right now. We've shaved this thing down where last year it was at a number. This year it's even less, and I think you would agree that making some of the decisions that we made last year were difficult. We're continuing to make these refinements because we are not in the same fiscal place that we were historically. So I think every program had an opportunity to be closely examined, and we felt very comfortable, you know, coinciding with what Judge Trinacosta said about maintaining this level of service. Is it going to be the same next year? I suspect, unless our fiscal condition changes, we're probably going to be less next year. But the one thing that we noted last year in terms of where we ended in this year is that we deferred some things last year because of the cycle of some trainings. And even though we had to do things this year that we didn't in the previous, and we were still able to come down in the budget, and we would love to, you know, add some money to some of these very valuable programs. But this is where we are right now, and as was stated, most everything was unanimously supported. So I'm very thankful for the information that we got and the vetting that occurred during this process.
Judge Shutter.
Let me add, specifically on the new judges, orientation has increased to 9. That's only based on an estimate of how many new judges have been appointed and need the training. I think we all recognize how important that training is, and we needed the additional sessions to provide it.
Mary Beth. Looking at all of these different programs in the detail, I have to state my appreciation for this working group to go through that. I don't know that I would have had the patience for it, and it does sound like you really went through each item very carefully. And I think, you know, for the most part, I mean, I'd be happy to make a motion to approve this, but I do want to capture what we started at the very beginning of our discussions, and I'm not real clear on this working group's charge. It sounds like this working group is starting to get their arms around a strategy for how we bring this down, and I just want to make sure that that continues and that we don't start again next year, you know, in July to go through this exercise, that this is ongoing through this year so that when we grapple with this next year, it's not just what we're going to be doing for 14-15, it's what we're doing to bring the whole fund into balance. And I don't know if that is their charge, and they will be doing that.
It is.
We strongly encourage that.
They'll be doing that, I think, as early as this fall.
Can I just clarify one thing, though? When you say bring this down, it may not be bring this down. It may be programs that are coming off or programs that are going to change, or revenues may even go up. Because part of the squeeze is...
Bring it into balance. How's that sound?
I think that's a better way to say it.
Okay. Yeah, bring it into balance.
That's right.
I just want to make sure that occurs because we've heard that, you know, we kind of went through this last year. It looks like we're doing it again. And I think we're on the right track. We just don't want to lose that momentum. It sounds like
right.
You guys did a lot of good work trying to get us there. So with that in mind, I would move approval of the recommendation. But
recommendation number one, the allocation of $58.3 million with the caveat that
second.
Judge Trinacosta laid out. Mike, did you have some comments?
I was just going to say that I agree with all the comments from my fellow subcommittee members. My approach, and I think the approach that we all brought was, I think we brought the same kind of rigor to these requests as we would to our own budgets. And I think that we made some tough decisions and that we all ultimately agreed with for the most part.
Judge Walsh.
May I propose a friendly amendment that on the last paragraph of the recommendation where it says reduce the interpreter, we change the word to shift?
I would accept that.
Okay. Thank you.
May I ask a clarifying question? Sure. If it's 58 million, if it's recommendation one, is that right, which is 58 million?
Yes.
Should it be subject to our further evaluation of the 6.9 and 609 million?
Oh,
those were already pulled out? Okay, thank you very much.
Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
We have a recommendation regarding complex lid.
Judge Trent Acosta, do you want to dispense with recommendation number three?
Given the intro to this meeting,
we've
yes,
plucked that.
We will gladly hand this to the appropriate committee.
Judge, that's what's been assigned to Judge Cope. Thank you very much to look into this issue.
It's actually a subcommittee of a subcommittee of a committee.
Yes.
Do we need to deal with these? Yes, we will.
Do you want to do those now or do you want to break?
Let's finish it out. So, yeah, get this
we'll so are there any issues? There's no issues with that. I don't know if we have to adopt a formal motion and action by this body to have that referred for further discussion.
For the funding methodology subcommittee?
It's just a sort of a subgroup of the Expenditure and Revenue Committee to look at the complex litigation funding program.
Do you have any kind of a time frame you'd like us to work under?
I think we just need to discuss it and have our first discussion and maybe sort of determine a timeline. But I think it'd be advantageous that when our long-term plan comes back to the subcommittee, this would be in part of that conversation.
So do you want a motion on
that? Maybe just for the purpose of memorializing it, maybe if we could just get a motion issue.
The recommendation is to have this subcommittee review the allocation of complex civil litigation. And I'm going to ask for a motion with a friendly amendment to have the funding methodology subcommittee review this. Is anyone willing to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mike.
Second.
Rebecca, was that you? Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next issue is on page 11, page 12, rather, pertain to the trial court trust fund allocations, and we again, these on total on balance were reductions from the prior levels. Again, for issues of generally IT, the recommendation two has the same flavor as the discussion of our IT approach. Mm-hmm. And so, in terms of approving recommendation number one, it is with the understanding that we would be looking at how our V2, V3 courts will proceed in the future and what is our plan relative to our overall strategic plan on IT, that we don't lose sight of that in terms of the funding side of it. So are there any motions for recommendations one and two or discussion?
This is Jake.
Jake, did you make the motion?
No, I just had a comment.
Oh.
I just have a concern with recommendation two only because of Judge Slough. I think already spoke to. I mean, that is already been given as basically a specific charge to the technology planning task force. So I think as the discussion has gone on this morning, we all understand that there's two or three separate groups that are all working on this issue and they're all sort of converging. So I guess I am not sure we need to make this recommendation again. I think it's already in process and working. So unless we just feel like as a group it's necessary to reinforce that process, anyway, that's my thought.
Judge Walsh?
Well, On the one hand, I abhor redundancy, but there is a notion of checks and balances. We're a budget committee. We think of budgets. We think of fairness. We've worked our way through the Waltham allocation. We care how do reserves fit into your ability to pay for your widget. That's our role. I don't think we should give it up. I'm sure Judge Herman's committee is going to do a wonderful job and educate us greatly, and we'll be informed by it. But I'm not sure we should walk away from our role as a budget committee to decide some, or at least make recommendations on some essential issues having to do with a fair allocation of funding. So, as I mentioned earlier, this is on the parking lot for funding methodology. I might be willing to quite give up that and give it to this group, but I think it's helpful that some group in the budget sector is looking at this. As a very wise person told me recently, there's always the question of whether budget drives policy or policy drives budget. Well, we ought to be driving both and let the policy folks weigh in and let our budget folks weigh in. And if we cover a couple of the same issues at the same time, so what? So I would recommend, and take away the word possibly there, and recommend that the adopt recommendation number two and delete the word possibly from line three, and that they in fact look into a new methodology for allocating monies for trial court technology, et cetera, as written.
Would you include recommendation one in that motion?
Well, that's sort of a separate thing. That's more of the dollars and cents. So I think this is more of a conceptual to empower the committee to go look at this. So I'd rather just look at two. So my motion would be to move to make recommendation number two and delete the word possibly.
Second that.
So are you saying that a committee of the trial court budget advisory group do that? I guess that's what I'm not understanding.
The committee that's been working on it, Judge Trinacasa's committee.
Gotcha. The Expenditure and Revenue Committee.
Right.
So would that be independent then of whatever technologies? Totally independent, or would you foresee some coordination there?
Independent of whom?
The technology committee.
Our own? Well, the recommendation was the subcommittee review this, right? And that is this subcommittee.
This subcommittee.
The revenue and expenditure.
I understand your discussion about the checks and balances. I'm just wondering if there'd be value in acknowledging that there is another committee out there that will be going down the same path.
Judge Herman's committee.
Right. And
there would be some coordination
so that they're not working at cross purposes.
I would accept that in the motion. That's what I said in the preface. Obviously, they ought to be totally tuned into what's happening, look at drafts, but they have a different role.
Conjunction.
If you want to add that, that's fine.
Yeah, I would recommend we add it just so that we're capturing that intent, that we're not working totally independent of them.
Well, I'm wondering if we should even make it a little bit more rigorous and say and have that, you know, have that linkage between the subcommittee and the technology committee, so that we're not two different committees trying to create the same wheel.
I was thinking we say coordinating with the technology committee as appropriate. You know, something like that. It captures the intent that they would be coordinating, but coordinating is coordinating. It's not one telling the other how it's going to work. So you maintain that independence to ultimately, make your own recommendation to the council.
So you said you'd accept that friendly amendment. So as I understand it, then we would delete the word possibly and at the end put
in coordination with
the technology
court committee. Technology advisory committee.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right, as appropriate.
I can't keep track of all the technology.
In coordination with the technology committee as appropriate, I think is what very best.
Right.
And I should note that all this was done while the chair was out of the room, so he can't refuse this extra work.
If I could make a suggestion, that if it's in coordination with the technology planning task force.
Fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Court technology planning task force.
That's perfect.
Is that the task force that you chair, Jake?
No, Judge, Judge Herman is the chair of the task force, but it's the one currently working on the governance structure, the funding model, and the strategic plan. And then its report will be, you know, vetted as Judge Slough walked through, and then presented to the technology committee itself.
So in coordination with the court technology planning task force as appropriate.
Right.
Was there a second to that?
Yes.
Judge Hicks, second. Any further discussion? So this is just on recommendation number two, right? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
We have to get back to one.
Yeah. We still have recommendation number one outstanding.
I'll move approval.
Second.
Judge Hicks and Mike Planet. Any further discussion on recommendation number one? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And with that, we will take our break. So we have we can reconvene at 1 o'clock. Let's try and get a little bit ahead of schedule or back on schedule. And that's that for now. Are we?